in Psalms chapter number 2 in verse number 12. It says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him." I want us to think real quickly, what does it mean to kiss the Son? Judas kissed him, but he walked away lost. When Judas kissed him on the cheek, you remember what Jesus said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Judas, as a free moral agent, had a choice to make. To worship the Christ, he would forgive him, or to betray him. When Jesus came out of that Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat had become as great drops of blood. Judas not only kissed the Son, but he kissed the blood of the Son. And his was not a kiss of worship or of love. It was a kiss of goodbye. God help. I want to look this morning at what it means to kiss the Son. There was a young cowboy, and he saw an old man pull up a mule to the hitching post and tie the mule off, and the young cowboy pulled out a six-shooter. And he said, "Old man, do you want to dance?" He said, "No, son, I really don't. Never wanted to." He said, "I want you to dance now." And he began to take that six-shooter, bow, 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 shooting right there at that old man's feet. That old man was just dancing to dodge that six-shooter. But he counted bullet after bullet after bullet, and after six bullets had been fired, the old man stopped his dancing, and he went back to his sack that was on the side of the mule, and he pulled out a double-barrel shotgun. And he pointed at the young man, and he said, "Son, have you ever kissed a mule?" He said, "No, sir, but I always wanted to." You can tell a lot about a person about what they're willing to kiss. You know what you do when you would kiss someone? First of all, you would kiss someone out of affection. You kiss someone that you love. When the prodigal son had run away, and every day that father looked for that boy to come home, when he saw that boy running home, my Bible says that he went out and he kissed that son and welcomed that son back home. And the word in the Greek is a word that doesn't just mean he kissed him one time, but he kissed him and he kissed him and he kissed him continually and never stopped. That's what my God has done for me. He's kissed me with his mercy and kissed me with his grace. How can I not kiss the one who first kissed me? Kiss can be a kiss of affection. And then there is a kiss of adoration, worship. No wonder they sing, "Oh, come, let us adore him." As we are doing so, we are kissing the Son. And then there are kisses of allegiance, where we recognize royalty and deity and we bow before it. Where we get on our knees before him and submit and surrender to the higher and to the greater power. There was a German soldier one time who saw an old man bowed before a statue of the crucified Christ, and he was kissing the feet of the crucified Christ. And the German soldier said, "Old man, why would you kiss the crucified Christ? Would you kiss Hitler's feet?" The old man turned and stood and said, "Would Hitler die for me?" Only Jesus could die for us and save our sin-sick soul. Amen. I want to say this morning, God commands us in Psalms 2 in verse number 12 to kiss the Son. Three reasons quickly that God commands us to kiss the Son. First of all, in verses 1 through 3, you see the enemy's rage against him. The Bible says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" We should kiss the Son
Because the enemies are raging against him. You know, there are folks right now protesting the Christ. This world is against Christ. They don't want you to say Merry Christmas in their stores. They don't want you to greet one another with Merry Christmas anymore. There's a little town over in Tennessee that has decided that for years they had their annual lighting of the Christmas lights in town, and now they've said no more scripture reading on town property when we light the Christmas lights. Let me tell you something. The world wants Jesus, wants Christ out of Christmas. The Bible says the heathen are raging. That's the Gentiles and the people. That's the Jews. They are imagining a vain thing. I was thinking about this pastor one time. Sometimes we pastors get nervous when we do weddings. And we get a little tongue-tied sometimes. And a young preacher was going to do his first wedding, and it came time for him to say it is customary to kiss the bride. But he got tongue-tied, and he said, it is customary to cuss the bride. And you see that what the world is doing to Jesus? It is customary to kiss the Son, but the world is no longer kissing the Son of God. They are cursing Him. God help the protest as the enemy rages against the Son of God. I tell you, no matter what the world does, you and I as the church, the people of God, we should continue to kiss the Son of the living God. I know in Denver, Colorado, they were having a Christmas parade, and they said, Santa yes, Christ no. Anything to do with commercial Christmas was acceptable. For the lesbians and for the homosexuals, it was fine. But to have a nativity, to have anything about Christ, it was banned. Imagine where our nation is going as we are protesting, as we are raging, as we are imagining vain things against the Christ. If you would imagine something, you are premeditating. The Bible said in Psalm 1, the Bible says that the godly man in his law doth meditate day and night. But in Psalms 2, there's a contrast. The wicked man, the ungodly man, his meditation is how to get rid of Christ, how to excommunicate him away from the society in which he lives. The Bible says in verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. That's their position. They're taking a position against God. They are counseling together against God. And what is their focus? It is against the Lord and against His anointed. The word for anointed in the Hebrew is the word Messiah. They are against God's Messiah. You know what God said about the Son? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In Matthew 3, in Matthew 17, at the Mount of Transfiguration, He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hey, the book of John, chapter number 5, I believe it is, says to us that he that honoreth the Son, honoreth the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent Him. If you say you worship God, but you don't kiss or worship the Son, you're not worshiping God. You're not honoring Him. He says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. You see, the world does not want the authority of Christ over them. And it is a dangerous thing. First of all, we should kiss the Son because of the enemy's rage against Him. Second of all, we should kiss the Son because of the Father's revelation about Him. He says in verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. What do you mean laugh, preacher? Why would God laugh? Because mankind is so morally depraved and spiritually depraved that they think they can overthrow the authority of Christ. It can't be done. Men much greater than the world society in which we live now have tried, and you cannot overthrow the Son of God. And as you try your overthrow, my Bible says, the Lord shall have them in derision. He'll mock at them. I wonder if He's mocking at our nation now. as we try to overthrow him at this Christmas season, trying to leave him out. Friend, there would be no Christmas without Jesus. And verse number 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Not only is the Father going to have derision, which is mockery, but that this will lead to wrath, and it will lead to anger, and is the displeasure of the Father. It is a dangerous thing. There was a man by the name of Diocletian. He lived around the 2nd century. He persecuted Christians and murdered and martyred them by the thousands. And he put up this monument, and he said, Extincto Nomine Christorum, which means the name of Christ is extinct. As his kingdom spread further to the west, he put up another monument on the other side, that the name of Christ is extinct. History would tell us that Diocletian committed suicide. But Jesus, who was crucified, was resurrected in power and is alive and well. And I'm telling you, Jesus, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The French philosopher Voltaire said, I'll get rid of God's word. He said, in 100 years, God's word will no longer be standing. Well, Voltaire is gone. And the Bible Society bought his house. They put a printing press inside it. And now they're printing Bibles every day in Voltaire's house. Voltaire is gone, but the name of Christ lives on. And his word is still being printed and declared to the world. He says in verse 6, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. No wonder Isaiah wrote, unto us a child is born. His name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. No wonder Luke chapter 2 and verse number 9 says, the glory of the Lord shone round about us. Amen. The Christ child was born, and he was born to die. We think, next of all, he says, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, verse 8, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That tells me that there's going to be a returning, Lord. One day he's coming back again. The Bible's told us that every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father. You see, we should kiss the Son because of the enemy's rage against him, but because of the Father's revelation about him. And last of all, and I'll be done, we should kiss the Son because of the sinner's refuge in him. I want to stay here just a moment. What a refuge we have in Jesus. He says in verse 9, be wise now, therefore. The word be wise is a word which also means delay no longer. I remember when he first spoke to me about salvation and how I tried to delay it. What a fool I was. He says, be wise. Delay no longer. He says in verse 12, kiss the Son. You know what Acts says? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you kiss the Son, what it means is you are embracing him. You are believing him. You have received him. You are worshiping him. You are adoring him. Your affection is about him. That's what it means to kiss the Son. Look with me, he says in verse 11. He says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. To serve the Lord means you've made him your master. And you said, I'd rather be a slave to Jesus and be free than be a slave to this world and be in bondage for all of eternity. You may say, I'll never be a slave to anything. You're a servant to something. You may be a servant to debt. You're a servant to money. You're a servant to sin. You're a servant to the devil. You're a servant to bondage. I'd rather be a servant and make Jesus Christ my master than anything else I know. You'll never know freedom. You'll never know peace until you kiss the Son and make him your Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. You see, God was at enmity with man. There was warfare. But you know how to make peace with the Father? Kiss the Son. If people treat my children right, if people love my children rather than scold them and persecute them and constantly talk ugly to them, I'm telling you, if you talk ugly to my youngins, you're talking ugly to me. If you talk ugly to God's youngins, you're talking ugly to God. If you want to make peace with me, you be good to my youngins. You want to make peace with God, be good to his son. Kiss the son. Hey, amen. Lest he be angry and you perish from the way. I was getting ready to anoint Brother Tony there. And I thought about not only the protection and the peace we have when we kiss the son, but I thought about the pardon. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you'll kiss the son, you'll never perish. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. What did that woman do that was a sinner? She kissed his feet out of affection, out of adoration. She kissed his feet because she recognized him as being the Savior. There was a little girl and a family living in a house, and the house in the nighttime caught on fire and it burnt to the ground. It burnt and killed the father. It burnt and killed the mother. The daughter somehow was rescued, but she had severe burns all over her body. She was sent to a trauma unit in the surgery after surgery after surgery over the course of a year or more. Finally, she was well enough to be able to sit back home, but she didn't have a home to go to. So they sent her to an orphanage. And when she got there to that orphanage, she was in a long line of other children on that bus. And one by one, they got off, and the man that run that orphanage, unlike the world today, he actually loved those children. He had prayed that God would allow him to have a ministry of reconciliation for children that were in a bad way. One by one, he would hug them when they got off that bus. And she was one of the last. And she could just step down off that bus to the ground. And she looked up and saw that man. And he looked at her. She was severely disfigured. She said to him, she said, "Mister, you don't have to hug me. I know I'm ugly." Put his arms around her and he kissed her on the top of her head. The only one he kissed was her. Kissed her on the top of the head. Oh, it just did something inside her when that orphanage master had kissed her. She went into that home and she had a warm bed and she had food and she felt love from the orphanage master and his wife, and she was taught about Jesus and she got saved, and as she grew up and had a good life inside that home. And finally, she was able, as old enough to get out of the orphanage there, and she went out and met a young man, and they became engaged to be married, but she had nobody to walk her down the aisle. And she went to the orphanage master, and she said, "Outside of God, you're the only father of God. Would you walk me down the aisle to meet my groom?" And he was delighted. He was honored. He put her on his arm. He walked her as he was dressed up down that aisleway to meet her groom. And that little girl leaned over and she started to kiss him on his cheek. And she said, "I kiss the one who first kissed me." And I thought about what God's done for me. He first kissed me with his grace. And he kissed me with his mercy. And he saved my sin-sick soul. And I remember the night I bowed there and called on the Son of God, and I kissed Him. I felt the same way she did. You don't have to kiss me, Lord. I'm ugly. I know what a sinner I really am. I know just how wretched I really am. But He kissed me anyway. I feel like I could say this morning, amen, I want to kiss the one that first kissed me. The one that wrapped His tender embrace around me. The one who loved me and forgave me of all my sins. Oh, yes, it may be mushy. And oh, yes, it may cause tears to run down my face. But if you'd been kissed the way He had kissed me, you'd have no problem kissing the infallible Son of God this morning. He, my friend, is worthy to be worshipped. I don't want to be a Judas and kiss Him and walk away. I don't want to be an Orpha who kissed Naomi and went back to Moab. I want to kiss the Son of God. I want to worship Him all the rest of my life. I want to give Him everything I've got, which is not much, but a few kisses is all He desires. Woo! I can do that this morning.
Bethlehem, Calvary, all of these days. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Mountains and plains with His praises shall swell. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Savior, oh, what a Savior is mine.